All right, good morning, everybody. Good to see you. Hopefully, you've all had a good Thanksgiving. I had a very good Thanksgiving. Some of you probably are still having a good Thanksgiving with all the leftover food in your fridge. My family, we had a turkey, and then we had a backup turkey. I don't know why, but the backup turkey is currently in our fridge, and we are going to be having Thanksgiving for at least 2 weeks. So we're very thankful. And before last week, I had my fifth to sixth graders at my church, and I decided to say to them, so what are you most thankful for? I read Psalm 100 to them, and so I went round the group, there's about 100 of them, and of course they gave me some good answers, and I got to the third girl, and she said, I'm thankful for everlasting life, and I was like, amen, that's exactly the answer, and everyone started clapping and cheering, so I thought, oh, this is good, we're going to keep going around, so we kept going around, I'm thankful for my family, thankful for my dog, and then I came up to this girl, and she had a name tag on that was a little bit different, so that tells me, oh, she's new, she might not be a believer. And sometimes it's a little bit risky when you go up to people you don't know with the microphone. There are some kids in my class, I'm like, I'll never put the microphone in front of their face because you never know what's going to come out of them. And usually it's not very good. But I went up to this little girl and I said, so what are you most thankful for? And she said, I'm thankful that society hasn't killed each other yet. And there was no clapping and there was no applause. And I was like, oh, very good, moving on. But at least she was thankful for that, and there were so many things to be thankful for. And we have so much to be thankful for as well, because the Lord Jesus Christ has been sent to die for our sins, and I think that's the greatest gift we can ever imagine during this time. Well, today we're going to be in the book of Jonah. And so if you want to turn to your Bibles, open them up. We're going to be looking at Jonah 1 and 2. And I love the book of Jonah. I just think it's a great book. It's a great book also for kids as well and for students because there's so much in there. And today I'm here with my wife and my son, as you can probably hear. He's a little bit more vocal today. He's growing up, and that's okay, but it is his nap time. We're hoping that now he knows I'm preaching, he'll go to sleep. But anyway, here we are. We're in the book of Jonah. Let me show you with you a quick opening story. So I was a very disobedient child when I was younger, and this book and this chapter especially is about obedience, being obedient to God, and that's what we're going to be looking at today, the obedience of our calling and what God has for us in our own lives. And I was a very disobedient child. Now, I loved computer games when I was growing up, and I had a ZX Spectrum 128K. Don't know if anyone knows what that is, but 128K is kilobytes, megabytes, gigabytes. We are terabytes. We are way forward now in the future. Well, 128 kilobytes. It's not a lot now. You couldn't even like run your toaster on that these days anymore. Anyway, so I loved computer games, and you had to get the little tape player and stick it in and press play and load it up. It'd take 10 minutes. Well, boy, we've moved on so far in today's technology and society. And there was a game I was stuck on, and in those days, you didn't have the internet. You had to call a hotline. And the hotline was pretty expensive. I think it was like 50 pence a minute, which is about 75 cents, which is back then was a lot of money. And of course, you call them up, and they give you their life story for about 5 minutes, and they've got $5 out of you already. But I sent to my parents, I said, hey, I really want to know how to finish this game. Can I please call the hotline? And my parents were like, no, it's going to cost too much money. You are not calling that hotline. Do not do it. So they went to bed, and what did I do? Called the hotline. And of course, I was on there for a while because they have to walk you through everything and they have to tell you where everything is. And suddenly, oh, there we go. And now I found what I need to do. And I played the game and I was completing it and I was very happy with myself. Anyway, 3 weeks later, the phone bill came. And my parents were at the dinner table and they were like, what is this? What is this bit, this charge here? What is it? And of course, I knew I was ready. I was outside the back door ready to run when I heard my name called Matthew Dean Sims, and I was off. I was off because I knew I was in trouble. So I went around my grandmother's house because that's where I would take refuge. And also that was where she had the chocolate. So that was where I had to go there. And of course, the phone rang. Is Matthew there? And she was like, yes, he is. And as she turned around, I was gone. I was out the back door to the other grandmother because we all lived in a village and very close to each other. So of course, I went over there because that's where she had the biscuits. She had the good biscuits and the tea. And so I was over there, and then the phone rang again. Is Matthew there? And she said, yes, he's here. And at that point, I was out of grandmother's, so I had nowhere to go. So I had to go home, and I had to walk in the door and put my head down and say, I'm sorry I disobeyed you. And of course, there was a punishment. And I was confined to my room for a whole week with bread and water. and no computer games for a week. So there was a consequence to my disobeying of my parents. And so today we're going to look at the book of Jonah, and we see how Jonah disobeys God when God calls him to do something very specific, and there are going to be some pretty big consequences. So let's turn to God's word to see what happens. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." And so Nineveh was a capital of the Assyrian Empire. Today it's in northern Iraq. It was a very large city, and there was a lot of evil there. The Assyrian Empire was not a good empire. And so in verse 3 it says, "But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord." So when God gives a command to a prophet, usually the prophet says, "Yes, Lord, I will do that." But right here, Jonah does the complete opposite. Instead of going to Nineveh, he goes in the opposite direction. And so he goes to the western coast of Israel, and the people over there known as the Phoenicians, and they are sailors. They are well-known sailors. And so he decides he's going to go to Tarshish, which they believe is in Spain. Now, today you're thinking, oh, Israel to Spain, that's just like a 2-3 hour flight on a plane. But in those days, it was many, many days' journey on a pretty small ship. And the laughable thing here is that Jonah is fleeing away from the Lord, thinking, oh, if I go to Spain or Tarshish, the Lord won't be able to find me. Interesting. Very, very interesting what is going through Jonah's mind right now. So in verse 4, he's on the ship, he's going away, he's with the Phoenician sailors. And in verse 4 it says, "But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up." And in the Hebrew, this is a disastrous word, break up, threaten to break up. It basically means the ship is going to be destroyed. It's going to be completely destroyed. And so this is a very, very dangerous moment. "Then the mariners, who were afraid, and each cried out to his God." So one thing with the Phoenicians is they have multiple gods. Because they're sailors, they want to have the sea god. They want to have the fish god. They want to have the sun god. They are basically supporting and praying to every god they can find because they want to be safe, and that's their thinking. Some of them even believe in Yahweh as well, because, hey, let's just get as many gods as we can get, so we'll be even more safer. It would be amazing. You'd see them wearing many, many idols and icons around their necks because they wanted everyone to make sure that they were covered. All right, we got everyone. We're praying to this god here, 5 minutes praying to this god, and then maybe there's time after lunch we'll pray to the god of the fish, and then we'll eat fish, and everything will be good. So they were worshipping as many gods as they could possibly do. "And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep." What is Jonah doing? He is now fast asleep in a horrific, mighty storm. And I guess he's like, oh, I'm going away from God. God can't get me. So I'm just going to go down into the bowels of the ship and sleep and everything will be fine. No, it's not going to be fine. Because then in verse 6, the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish." And so they're now asking, "You better pray to your God as well. We're all in this together. We're praying to all the gods we can find and we have so we can be saved from this awful storm." And so when we come into verse 7, we are now at the point where things are going really bad for the sailors and for Jonah. And we're starting to see the consequences of what happens when Jonah runs away from God. And so my first point today is, obeying God requires running towards him and not away from him, which is exactly what Jonah is doing here. And so verses 7 to 10, it says here, "And they said to one another, 'Come, let us cast lots, that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us.' So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah." Well, isn't that handy? Then they said to him, tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. Where is your occupation and where do you come from? What is your country and what and of what people are you? This is like the Spanish Inquisition. They are asking every single question they can think. Who are you? What is going on? We got to figure out who is this guy because they've taken his money. They have no idea who he is. And he said to them, I am a Hebrew and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. And in response to that, the sailors are exceedingly afraid and said to him, what is this that you have done? For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. The sailors now realize he is running from Yahweh. They know who Yahweh is. Yahweh is not to be messed with. And now they are like, and you have gotten us in this situation. So his own sin, running away, has now got other people in trouble as well. And the sailors are not happy at all. So the sailors, they cast lots. They discover that Jonah is running away from God. And if we look at this in terms of our own lives, when we run away from God's calling, we only cause more harm to ourselves, and sometimes we cause harm to others. Just like Jonah has done to the sailors, he has gotten them in the same trouble that he is in as well. So if there was going to be a life application to just take from this small section here, it would be to take a look at the things in our lives that we might be running away from. And sometimes that's really hard because sometimes we may be like, is God really calling me to do this? Is God really telling me to do this? Or am I running away? Are you being asked to do something? Maybe at church where someone has come to you and said, hey, I think you should lead a Bible study. Or maybe someone like God himself is speaking to you and saying, I need you to do this. Well, when you run away from God, he usually brings you back. Or he usually continually persists until you say yes. And we're going to look a little bit of more of that later on in this sermon. But take a look at the things in our lives we are running away from. What are we running away from and why are we running away from them? As we continue the story here. So Jonah then offers himself as a sacrifice. And in verse 11, they said to him, what shall we do to you? For the sea may quiet down for us. They're looking for a solution. For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. It's getting worse. He said to them, pick me up and haul me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that the great tempest has come upon you. You see, Jonah's now owning his situation, his mistakes. He's now realizing, it's my fault, and there's a way we can get out of this, and I'm probably going to have to do this. You're going to have to throw me into the sea because I have done wrong. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. They're still trying to get out of this. It's absolutely amazing. Therefore, they called out to the Lord, O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood for you. O Lord, have done as it pleased you. They're now praying to Yahweh. They're actually putting their faith in Yahweh. They've turned around. They've abandoned their other gods, and now they're praising Yahweh. So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Immediately, it stops. They have obeyed Yahweh. And in verse 16, it says, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. So they've immediately turned to Yahweh. They've turned to the Lord. They've seen what he can do when Jonah has told them, I am a follower of Yahweh. If you do this, then the Lord will save you. And he did. And that's exactly what he did right there. And so in verse 17, this last one in this chapter here, it says, and the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. But first, the second point of this sermon is that obeying God requires owning our own mistakes. Just like Jonah did, he realized he had made a mistake. And even when we do own our own mistakes, there are still consequences, but we learn from them. And just as we saw here, Jonah is learning from his consequences. He is now about to be thrown in the sea, and a whale or a big giant fish is about to take him. And that's not a nice consequence, to be honest. That's a pretty bad thing. to happen to him. But he's admitted it. He's admitted, I did wrong. And this is how you guys are going to have to get out, and I'm going to get out of it, by turning to Yahweh. So if there's going to be an application to take from this small little passage here, it would be to take time to sit down and look at our sins. Sometimes we have to look at, what are we doing that's not pleasing to God? Are there things in our lives that are not pleasing to him? I know there are some things in my life which I have to sit down and say, Lord, I'm not doing the right thing. I'm sorry. I really am not. And so we pray to God to help us. That's exactly what I do. We pray to God. And we find help from those who are older and wiser and can help us grow from our own mistakes. There's a lot of wise people in this room. I see it. But it's always helpful to have someone who can mentor us and sit next to us and guide us through our own lives. I am so grateful for the mentors that have taken the time to help raise me. I would not be stand here preaching to you if it wasn't for them. I don't know where I would be, to be honest. And so that is something that I've always taken so much from, is seeking help from other Christians, talking to them, sitting with them, allowing them to guide me through my life. It's been a wonderful journey so far. And so, where are we now? We're coming up to our third point. And so, the Lord has appointed a great fish, and Jonah has now been swallowed up, and he's going to be in this fish for 3 days and three nights. Now, we have to talk about this, because there's a lot of talk about that. Well, that's impossible. How could Jonah have been swallowed by a whale? How could he have been swallowed by a fish? That's just scientifically impossible. Okay, sure. Okay. But if you look at the text, it says, the Lord appointed. And then next, when we get into the end of verse 2, it says, and the Lord spoke to the fish. So whatever type of fish it was under God's control. But here's something really interesting. I was talking to my executive pastor about this, and I said I'm going to be preaching on Jonah. And he said, so what type of fish do you think it was? And I was like, oh, it's a big fish. It's got to be a whale. And he looked at me, and he's like, I think it was a shark. I was like, what? A shark? And he said there was a report in the late 1800s of a man who claims he was swallowed by a shark and he was in the belly for 3 days and three nights, and they found him, they cut him open, and he survived. And I was like, okay, maybe it was a shark or maybe it was a whale. I don't know. I did a little research on the internet as well, and there's some funny people out there on the internet claiming they've also been eaten up by a shark or a whale. I don't know, but I thought that was really interesting that maybe it is possible that you could survive being in a shark for 3 days because they don't digest. It takes three to four days, so you could actually survive. And that got me thinking, this is really even more interesting because, you know, we've all been to Sunday school and we've all like taught this or seen this. And when we teach this story, we teach it to kids like, oh, Jonah was sat in the well and he was having a whale of a time. Sorry, I had to do that dad joke. And it's just, he's sat there, he's smiling, he's happy, he's got all this space in the well, you know, he's got like his sofa and his TV, he's having a great time in there. But the reality is, this must have been a horrific experience. I mean, that whale has probably just feasted upon like some eels and some fish. It must have stank in there. And it probably wasn't comfortable. And it was dark. And he had no idea of time. Now, if it was a shark, he's got nowhere to go. He's lying down like this for 3 days and three nights. Like, what am I going to do? What's going on? It must have been horrific. And so we got to be careful when we tell the story to kids, because I think they're like, oh, this is so much fun. We're having such a good time inside the well. But this is a horrific thing that happened to Jonah for 3 days and three nights. But during that time in the well in chapter 2, he actually takes the opportunity to really think and repent to God. And he writes this beautiful psalm here, which is in chapter 2. And it says, then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head at the roots of the mountain. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever, yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you in your holy temple. those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed. I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Amen. And so as Jonah is praying and thinking this, I wonder if he thinks he's not going to make it. I wonder if he thinks this is judgment has come upon him. Because in that last verse he says, but I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed. I will pay. And so I wonder if he thinks this is it. This is the end. But it's not. Because in verse 10 it says, and the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. What a word that is, vomit. Ugh, it must have been horrific. But he gets out of this fish because the Lord, it's the Lord's will for him to do it. And so my third point today out of this entire story is that when we obeying God requires repenting when we disobey him. We have to repent of our sins. And when we disobey him, especially, we have to repent and go to him. Lord, I am so sorry. Why did I do this? And Jonah has had all this time to do this. He's able to repent for a long time. Doesn't know if he's going to get out of this. I don't know. If he's in the shark or in the well, I guess it doesn't matter. But it's horrific. And he's probably thinking this is the end. But he is still repenting to God and saying how sorry he is. And so God is going to forgive us when we mess up. We're always going to mess up. But we have to repent, and this requires processing and praying with God, taking time to process and pray with him. And even others as well. There's nothing wrong with confessing our sins to others, because there are so many people who have done what I have done or we have done, and we can help them with their sins. There's nothing wrong with that. So the final application for this is to spend time alone with God in prayer. You know, when we make mistakes, because we are going to make mistakes, take time to write thoughts down, and ask God to help you so that you can obey him next time. The idea behind this story is that we will obey God the next time. Because now, as we continue the story, which we won't do today, Jonah goes to Nineveh, and he does tell the people that they need to repent. And they do repent. And then in chapter 4, well, doesn't end well for Jonah. Oh, dear. I wish I could spend more time in this, because chapter 4, I think, is my favorite chapter. There's so much in there as well. But in summary, as we look at those three points of this story today, is let us obey God. Let's run towards him, not away from him. Let's own our own mistakes, and let's repent when we disobey him. All of that is obeying God. And the one thing, you know, I want to leave you with is if you look at Jonah, as soon as we get to verse 3, God has given him the instruction, arise, go to Nineveh. Verse 3, all the way to chapter 3, could all have been avoided if he had obeyed God. He wouldn't have been thrown in the sea. He wouldn't have had all these people yelling and screaming at him. He wouldn't have been in the belly of the whale for 3 days. This disgusting, horrible experience. All of that would have been avoided if he had just said, yes, Lord, I am here. Send me. I will go and do your work. And sometimes I look at my own life and I think to myself, if I had only just obeyed God, I could have been somewhere so much faster. But yet I had to get involved with all the messy, nasty, dumb stuff in the middle. And I could have avoided that. And I think we can too. When we listen to God, he speaks to us and we obey him, then we can get to where we need to get to a lot faster and avoid all of the stuff in the middle. It'd be a lot easier if we did. And I know I'm learning about it and still learning about it. And I hope you will too today. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this wonderful story of Jonah. And Lord, we're just so grateful that you gave us this story, because it's such a great reminder for us to just obey you and to seek forgiveness and repent when we do wrong. And we will. We're all sinners. But we're so grateful that you sent your son Jesus to die for our sins. And if we believe and trust in him, we will have everlasting life. And so, Lord, just help us during these times. And we are just so thankful for you during this time of thanksgiving for everything you have done for us, especially sending your son to die for our sins. And so, Lord, I just ask that you would help us this week and over the months, and that you would help us to listen to you and obey you, run towards you and not run from you, and to ask for forgiveness, to repent and obey you so much quicker than we should. So please, Lord, just help us with all of these things. Father, we just love you. In your name we pray. Amen. thank you so much for having me today. I will be back on December 26th, I think. So thank you. Oh, and I forgot to show you my Don't Touch a Shark book, which is... So that's your warning. Don't touch a shark, and you won't be eaten.